Perfect Podcast. Welcome to the Almost Perfect Podcast, a celebration of questions and answers, I guess. Yeah, today is a Q&A session. I put it out on the socials and the Patreon, the various different spaces, that this week I'd answer any burning questions that listeners had. And I feel like probably got buried in the fucking algorithm because we didn't get that many responses. I got about 5. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to answer those questions, and then I'm going to go into ChatGPT, and I'm going to ask ChatGPT what questions they would ask Joe Rogan, and then I will answer those questions too. So that's what you have to look forward to today. How you doing though, man? Hey sis, how's your day been? How's your love life? Who you dating? You know, how you living there? You good? I hope you're good. It's been a pretty chaotic time lately. I know down south in the Cape and that, there's been floods and everything. And I know, sheesh, Joburg, I can't even keep up with all the news that's up there, you know, like explosions and fucking everything. It's a rough time to be alive at the moment. And yeah, hopefully this helps you get through the day a little easier. Although, I don't know, like, my headspace is a little weird these days as well. So let's see if we can make this entertaining and hopefully not too depressing. So let's kick this off. Let's just get straight into it. Got a few questions here. We'll answer the how am I though by Ricky at the end. Let's start with Vincent Joseph. So Vinny is someone who I work with the Not Quite Right crew. Been really enjoying working with them. Funny dude. Like, fun dude as well. Really, we have a lot of good times. So thanks for your question, Vinny. And he says, congratulations. 5 years is a long time. What has been your greatest motivation that has kept the podcast going this long? Spite. Probably. Nah, I don't know, man. Like, it's a weird thing because I was listening to this podcast that Kevin Bramble started recently. I think it's called Dope Mind. And he brought up the whole 5 years thing and like how it must be quite tough when you're doing it on your own. Because like, at least when you're working with other people, you know, there's people to motivate you. There's someone else to be accountable to and that. And with this, I won't lie, like it has at times, you know, I haven't had the motivation. Like, my mental health when it comes to this thing can be a little wonky. It can definitely, like, you know, sometimes I just feel like, oh, what's the fucking point? You know, and then I don't put out episodes. I don't chase things down. I don't follow up. Because it can get really frustrating, especially like when, you know, you reach out to people and you're like, hey, come on the podcast. And then they're either like, yeah, or they just leave you on read. And then like, just all these different fucking annoyances like that keep happening throughout everything. It can get a bit frustrating, but the reality is I do this because I want to do it and I've got the freedom. Like, I can do whatever I like with this. I can chat to whoever I want to. I can ask them whatever questions I like. And there's no gatekeepers, basically. There's nobody telling me, you're not good enough, you can't do this, blah, 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 blah. You know, you don't fit the bill, you don't do the things like that we want you to do. You know, like when I was on radio and stuff, I saw that like that path long term was not for me, because it's kind of like the Noam Chomsky thing. I can't remember, I'm going to paraphrase him a little bit here, but basically, yeah, he says like the system will only really allow for people who are willing to work within the system. Like, it's not going to really allow for alternative voices. And so you become, like, if you're going to work in those systems, then you get whittled down. Like, you actually get shaped and molded by the system into what it wants you to be. And personally, I tried my best to at least avoid that. Although I know I'm still influenced by so many different fucking things. So many different forces are, you know, playing out with us constantly. So, yeah, I think it is just the whole freedom aspect of it. The fact that it is something I can just do mostly on my own. Obviously, I've got to have some guests and stuff as well. But yeah, it's just a personal project that I want to have a cool catalog by the time. I don't know when this will ever be done. Like, I feel like it's something I can carry on doing forever, really. Like, I mean, obviously technology and stuff might change, but It's very simple. It's very basic. And I personally just really do enjoy doing this. I really enjoy interviewing people. I really enjoy having these kinds of conversations with a wide variety of people who I respect and love and like really often, you know, enjoy their work. And it's a real treat that I do get that access. You know, obviously I do get a bit bummed sometimes when people are a little fucky with me and shit, but at the same time, I'm really stoked when people are stoked and keen to be on the podcast. You know, I've had like some really big names and stuff, and that's obviously been like quite motivating, but that's never really been why, you know, I do it. I've never really cared. Like, you'll see, there aren't a lot of celebrities on here because I don't really give a fuck about celebrities. That's the reality. But I do give a fuck about artists. I do give a fuck about art. And yeah, maybe if you're, you know, reach a certain level of fame and you're still putting out dope shit, then yeah, we'll still chat. But if you're just part of that like celebrity culture and shit like that, that's not for me. I couldn't give a fuck. I don't really want to talk to those people. They're quite vapid. They're quite empty and just, you know, pure ambition. And I've got very little time for that. So yeah, I guess the thing that's motivated me to keep doing it is just that I enjoy doing it. It's really kind of that simple. For the most part, I mean, as I say, there are some days where I'm just like, ugh, I don't feel like getting on the fucking mics. I don't feel like sharing. And like, sometimes I'm just not in the best headspace. And, you know, I don't want to put that on anyone else, I guess. You know, I don't want to come on here and moan and suck and just, yeah, like put bad vibes out into the world. Like, you're trying to have a good time. Like, you're listening to this because I assume you want to be entertained a little. And yeah, sometimes I'm just not always feeling very entertaining. And so I don't jump on the mics. And I know that inconsistency can be a problem in terms of growth and this and that. But at the same time, whatever, man, I figure like if you're still around at this point, then you know what the vibe is. And you don't mind too much that some weeks there just aren't going to be podcast episodes. Maybe that'll change as time goes on, but that's the reality of all of that for me, I guess. Okay, and then we've got some questions from someone who's obviously fairly new to the vibe, but they ask, it's Tanuksha Jagadu, who asks, when did you start doing stand-up and any tips for aspiring comedians? So I think I started about 12 years ago. Like, I always like listen to, you know, like when like Robbie or Simi or one of them says, oh, I'll be doing it for this long. And I'm like, okay, cool. A year less than them, basically. Because I can never really fucking remember that far back. My 20s were also pretty chaotic. And so time periods and stuff aren't my best asset, I guess. I don't always know exactly when shit happened. Just know it was a while ago. But the reality is also there, like, I might have been doing it since then, but doing it in Durban, where a lot of the time I was doing like one gig a month and I took breaks as well and all of that. So compared to like people in Cape Town or Joburg, like, I don't feel like I've got as much experience as like other people who have been doing it for about the same time as me, if that makes sense. But we are changing that. I mean, I did like 3 gigs this week. I did Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. And that's been cool, man, because like, yeah, you gotta stay stage fit, basically. And it's been cool. I've just been working on some bits and like trying to develop a set that's a little universal so that I can just like jump on at all these different rooms where, you know, I'm not necessarily the main attraction, and just try and make sure that I can make as many people laugh as possible without trying to be too unique. You know, I still got my style, I still got my vibe, but I can also, like, I didn't, like, last night, I did a gig, I jumped on at one of Cyril's gigs in Overport and that, and before the gig, he was like, hey, bro, like, I don't really have swearing and stuff in my gigs and this and that, and I was like, sweet, no stress, I can happily do 5 minutes without swearing and without getting too raunchy and that, and I did it, and the crowd loved it, I had a great time, so yeah, like, I'm stoked at the moment that we are doing a lot more, especially with the Not Quite Right crew. We've got the open mic every Wednesday. And yeah, I'm just keeping my head down and trying to focus on that. And like, the goal at the moment really is just to be undeniable, you know, just to be able to consistently put on good performances when necessary. Like, at open mics and shit like that, I'm going to fuck around. I'm going to play with ideas. I'm going to experiment and stuff. And like, I might die on my ass. But when it's necessary, I'll bring out the big guns. And yeah, I'm just trying to develop all of that. So that was a long answer to a fairly short question. And then any tips for aspiring comedians? Try not to take shit personally. Like, I think that's been a big mistake of mine, at least over a long period of time I've been doing this. Like, you know, we get in our feels a lot. Like, comedians are actually relatively sensitive people. I mean, not just relatively, like, they're incredibly sensitive people. And we do tend to take things personally. We do tend to think like, oh, that person did this thing on purpose, you know? When maybe they're just not even thinking about you. Maybe they're also just too self-involved to actually, like, you know, you're like, oh, why is this person not booking me or whatever? And it's like, maybe they're just not thinking about you. Maybe they've got their people that they fuck with and they're like, oh yeah, I like these guys. Let me work with them. And, you know, you could internalize that in a lot of different ways. And I know I have, and I know a lot of other comedians do too, because I've chatted to them about these sorts of things. And so, yeah, I think that would be like my main advice, man, is just try not to take things personally. Also, like, yeah, if the crowd doesn't laugh at your stuff or people don't like some of your stuff and that, you know, you get back on the horse, you try a different thing. It's not, yeah, you just gotta have a thick fucking skin and keep your head down, focus on your goals, know what it is that you want out of this thing, and try not to, yeah, let any of the other bullshit get to you. Okay, and then we've got Catherine Jenkin. She asks, I low-key have to do this as Queen Swiftie, because she is the Queen Swiftie, over patreon.com/almostperfect at the titular titles tier, which I'll mention again just now. You probably know about it. So she quotes here, it must be exhausting always being the anti-hero, which is a quote which I'm assuming is a Taylor Swift lyric. And she says, so Bob, can you relate? And like, I don't know. Like, I really don't know. Because like, I'm assuming she's saying this as a diss to someone. Like, that's my thoughts here. But also personally, I don't know, man. Like, I believe with the Bray Wyatt, he did a promo when he like first came up to the main roster in WWE. And he was like, they've been lying to you, man. There ain't no such thing as a hero. And yeah, like, I don't personally see myself as a hero or anti-hero or anything in that regard. And I do think it could probably be quite exhausting if you're always trying to position yourself a certain way, or you're always trying to, like, yeah, be seen in a certain light, I guess. And I think that's maybe what old T-Dog over there was trying to say with that statement. But yeah, personally, I couldn't really give a fuck anymore, man. Like, maybe back, like, when I was younger and that, like, I prided myself on being a punk and being anti-establishment and all these things. And I mean, it's still there, but it's not like my identity or anything like that. You know, it's just stuff that like guides how I see the world and how I choose to act. But personally, I don't want anyone to see me as an anti-hero. So yeah, it's exhausting just being me anyway. And I love saying exhausting in the Lil Sims way. Man, yeah, fuck, love Lil Sims. So yeah, I don't know, maybe I can relate in that, like, I think it is exhausting, you know, being around people or always trying to be the anti-hero. But yeah, like, actually being the anti-hero, yeah, it's not me. I don't relate in that regard. Okay, and then lastly, Rick Rack Cadillac. I know that's not your name on the internet anymore, but that's how I know you, buddy. Old Ricky, he asks, how are you though? That's a loaded fucking question, dog. That is such a loaded question at this point in my life, because there's so many things that are so fucking dope and so rad and I'm so stoked about. Like, the new relationship I've been in for the last few months has really been so rewarding and so cool, and like, Jamie and I really get along so well, and like, I just like, we've been spending so much time just talking to the early hours of the morning, sharing thoughts, feelings, ideas, everything. And like, that's been such a rewarding thing. Like, I can't even explain like how much it's like, you know, just impacted my life and made everything just a lot more bearable, I guess. And then also, yeah, with the Not Quite Right stuff, I'm so stoked with the team, man. Like, I'm so stoked with all of us. Like, on Wednesday night, we had like quite a quiet gig. I mean, there were quite a few gigs happening, and like, you know, obviously an open mic versus like proper lineup shows isn't going to be as well supported when you've got like big names performing just around the corner. So we didn't have a lot of people, but the crew like were positive about it, and we landed up doing like a little improv vibe where we would get, you know, everyone would go up and get suggestions from the crowd, and then we'd just start talking about it and just try to find jokes and that. And that was such a fucking cool experience. Like, it was really just like the camaraderie and the team building and all of that with that is so fucking dope. And it's so nice to no longer just have like all those responsibilities on my shoulder. You know, when I used to run the Winston and stuff like that, and when I've done a lot of events in the past, a lot of it has just been me doing 90% of the work. And now, like, you know, we get to Aces and everyone kind of knows what they're doing. You know, someone sets up the speaker, someone else sets this up, that up. You know, we all get there, we do our thing, gig gets set up nice and quickly. The breakdown also, everyone just works, and it's fucking, that's been so rewarding as well. I've really felt really stoked with like the team that I put together and what we've been able to do since. I mean, we're not like packing out rooms and shit like that yet, but also, like, you know, people don't necessarily know who any of us really are. Like, some people might know who I am, but, you know, with a lot of the other cats, they are a bit newer, they are a bit younger, they, you know, don't have a history quite like mine. So it's also, yeah, like, I don't think in general, like, it was weird because I was talking to Jamie about this and that last night, where it's just like, I think, you know, my audience in Durban at least is no longer here. Like, I think either people have gotten a bit too old, or they have kids, they, you know, are playing their social soccer, they're no longer on the jaw, you know, they're no longer that social, or they've just left the fucking city. Like, there's so many people who are in my stories watching who no longer live here. You know, there's the people who engage with my stuff a lot of the time aren't in Durban. So I don't exactly see myself as a draw here either. So yeah, like, it's not like, that's a funny thing though, actually. Like, but it's also because I've done so many shows here, and so I think all the people who were going to come watch me have probably already come and watched me. When I go like to Cape Town or Joburg, there's always people, you know, coming and watching. It's kind of funny, but it's also, I guess, like, it's a scarcity thing. Like, you don't get to see me there as often, so the people who do fuck with me make a plan to come and see me out there. And I don't know where I'm going with all of that, but I guess what I'm saying there is, like, it's a little conflicting sometimes, you know, still being at this point in my career and, like, yeah, still doing empty rooms. But I mean, we had Robbie host the first open mic that we did with Aces, and even he didn't pack the room out, you know. So it's like, once again, try not to take things too personally. Like, there's so many different reasons why different gigs work at different times. And personally, yeah, like, I'm just trying to utilize whatever opportunities I can to get on stage, whether it is to lots of people or just a handful of people, and just make the most of that time and space. So that's the thing. Like, I feel like I'm pretty focused on my goals, especially when it comes to comedy at the moment. And even with the podcast, I've been doing a lot of stuff, like with YouTube and that, putting out little quote videos and trying to just make all my things work a little bit better, and trying to just constantly just, it doesn't really matter, like, you know, the whole like results orientated thinking, like, don't be ruddy, don't worry too much about the numbers and stuff like that, and just keep to the process, keep trying to refine things, keep trying to get better. So I feel like I'm in a good headspace with regards to all of that, but like, at the moment, I'll be honest with you, work shit has been horrific. Like, I am not getting anywhere near as much work as I need, and like, that's been really stressful. And I keep applying for jobs, I keep like reiterating on my CV. Like, I've got like fucking 10 different CVs that I've been sending out depending on the various different jobs. And yeah, like, it's been a struggle trying to actually get even just callbacks, because, like, I mean, if you apply for jobs through like LinkedIn or whatever, you'll see like, oh, there's like 600 other applicants, and it's just like, fuck, okay, I get you. Like, it's a strange time at the moment. I mean, obviously unemployment in South Africa is fucking high, and like, I do think with ChatGPT and AI tools and that, I think a lot of us are probably getting less work than we would have in the past. And I mean, you can see it. Like, you can see there's a lot more bad copy out on the internet. It's not that there wasn't a lot of bad fucking copy on the internet before ChatGPT, but that stuff's been hilarious to actually see, like, in real life, and how wrong so many things have been with people utilizing that stuff. So I don't know, there probably might still be a space for me to edit fucking ChatGPT's work and shit, but yeah, at the moment it has been a bit of a mission. And so what I've been doing is I've been doing a project management course online, because I feel like that might be an area of expertise I could probably shift into, just because of my experience with managing a lot of fucking projects. Like, I've done so many events and so many different, like, kinds of things. I mean, even with, yeah, like, Durban Is Yours and this and that. Like, I feel like my organizational skills are pretty solid. My understanding of how to manage budgets and timings and problem solve and all of that. So hopefully that is something that I can actually, like, make happen, because yeah, at the moment, just trying to find, like, decent work has been a bit of a struggle. Because, like, yeah, also just, there aren't that many publications anymore. Well, at least not many cool ones in South Africa, that's for sure. And internationally, you know, you're competing with a lot of fucking people. Like, a lot of people. And the reality there is also, the youth them, you know, will work for cheaper. And so, a lot of the time, what happens in the media industry is that, you know, they're just constantly, every 2, 3, 4 years, they're getting new writers and they're getting young writers in so that they can keep paying them less wages. Where I'm at now, you know, like, my rate's fairly decent. Like, it's well earned. Like, I've got a lot of fucking experience. And so, like, it's also at that point a struggle to find people who are willing to pay it sometimes. And I don't know, man, like, I'm trying to, like, figure it all out and trying to just, like, pivot and trying to make the best of everything, because we are in a strange time, man. It's upheaval, baby. Like, and I do see, like, obviously with AI and automation and that, it opening up other jobs. And, like, personally, I found, you know, ChatGPT to be quite helpful with various things. Not so much with writing copy, though. Like, holy shit. But, I mean, actually, like, it's great with CV stuff. That's for sure. And it's pretty good at, like, just if you want to learn things, you know, you ask her questions and hopefully it gives you mostly correct answers. But just, like, even stuff like, you know, just what about this? What about that? Like, it can be quite helpful. It can be a cool little brainstorming tool. And I know there's so many other uses for it. And personally, while I obviously, you know, I'm stressed about job losses and this and that, like, with any technology, it's going to create, like, some upheaval. It's going to shift things. But if you look throughout history, like, people adapted. Different jobs opened up. Different, like, each time there's been more automation, you know, it should open up more time for all of us. But really, it just makes us more productive and we land up doing more work for less pay. But hopefully, hopefully, it's not going to happen. But hopefully things will be different this time. So yeah, like, that stuff's been, like, stressful. Like, that stuff's definitely, like, just money shit at the moment, so I'll be honest with you, is, like, been a real fucking headache. And just trying to keep my head above water and, like, move forward in terms of those, you know, career paths, I guess. Because as much as, like, yeah, I love the comedy and I love the podcast and that, they don't necessarily make enough money. Like, they don't. Like, they cover themselves, you know. They pay, like, comedy gigs pay for the Ubers and the drinks at the draw, and the Patreon stuff for this pays for the hosting, the, like, subscriptions for the various stuff that, like, I need to record and to edit and stuff like that. And yeah, to go into merch that I can hopefully try and sell, and then just keep reinvesting that money. Because, like, the truth is, the money I get from Patreon and from this isn't my money. It's the podcast money. And I do hope to one day be able to draw a salary from this. It is why I've been, like, trying to focus more on the YouTube stuff and, like, trying to build that channel so that, you know, I can get a little bit of advertising money from that, and also just grow the audience, because it's the second biggest fucking search engine in the world and it's good with suggesting things and blah, 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 blah. So yeah, man, like, where was I? How am I? Conflicted, bruh, because Yeah, like I say, the money shirts at the moment is an absolute fucking nightmare. It's been incredibly stressful. It's not been good for my mental health at all. But I'm, you know, making shit work. I'm staying alive. And I've got all these other things to focus on. And that's also it. It's like, whilst I don't have like work, I am putting in work, you know. As I say, like, I am working on the almost perfect stuff, also with the not quite right stuff and everything, you know. I'm continually spending my days doing shit that like will improve my life hopefully in the long term, but just right now it's been quite stressful. And yeah, that's I guess how I am. Maybe that's a little too honest. Maybe I shouldn't be sharing all of that with random strangers. But at the same time, like, I think it's something that I'm sure other people can also fucking relate to. I know I'm not the only one at the moment who isn't quite getting the work that they want or need. And yeah, in South Africa especially, unemployment's super fucking high. So I know most of the people who listen to this podcast have iPhones and blah, 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 blah. But I know there's some broke boys and broke girls out there. And you're not alone. You're definitely not alone. I don't know how we change this shit, but yeah, like, just, it's just the reality of life, man. You go through phases, it ebbs and flows, and I know I'll eventually come out of this, like, phase stronger, better, faster, hopefully a little bit richer. But yeah, just at the moment, it is stressful, and I'm trying to make that change, you know? I'm trying to make that change soon. So hopefully I'll have some good news for you in the near future, and yeah, we can laugh about this chaotic time period, this difficult time period, but also, as I say, incredibly rewarding time period, because I still have a lot, you know? I really do. I'm very, very fucking lucky. And I'm very grateful for the people that I do have in my life. So, yeah, that's how I are. I are Cadillac. And yeah, good to hear from you, bro. I hope you're doing well. And I guess we don't need to do the ChatGPT questions. Like, this has gone on for quite a while with those 5 questions. Managed to get to nearly half an hour. So, yeah, we're not going to do the little gimmick thing. I feel like I gave you enough. I feel like I might have actually given you a little too much there. But you know me, I'm going to overshare. Like, that's definitely a thing I've done with this podcast a bit too much sometimes. But it's also kind of the whole point. And yeah, I appreciate all the support. I appreciate all of you listening for as long as you have. I really do appreciate the patrons, whether, you know, it was for a short period of time, or it's been like, some of you have been there for years. Some of you have given me literally like thousands of rands. And that is, I don't actually have words, like, how much that means to me and how much it really just fucking helps. And it really has, like, that's actually it. So, like, it's not necessarily just the motivation, but like when Vinny asked earlier, you know, how'd the podcast keep going for so long? Well, it's actually because of the fucking support of people like you. And I really, really, really just want to say thank you. Because, yeah, we're going to keep this party rocking for as long as we can. And, yeah, as long as you're listening, I'll keep putting them out there. So, once again, thank you very much. That does bring us to the end, which means it's time for the shoutouts. Over at patreon.com/almostperfect, there is a tier. It's called the titular titles tier. And there's a $10 tier, and it's the top tier, and you get to pick your title right here on the podcast. So, shoutouts to Rousseau, the storage clerk of Cecil Heresies in the Lesser Overberg region, Russell Grant, the Far East correspondent, Neil Green, the key grip, Karan Slemon, the almost perfect hedge fund manager, Riz Ventura, the director of purchasing, Karan Chetty, the assistant to the regional manager, Kath Jenkin, the inevitable ruler of the universe and Queen Swifty, and Stephen Olafia, the executive producer. As always, a big thank you to Damien Root for the banging intro you hear at the beginning of each episode and the bed music you hear underneath me. And a big thank you to you for listening all the way through to the end. I will catch you on the flip side.